God. So, Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for what we've already heard and what we've already received today, Father, just gathering together and singing these wonderful, wonderful songs that celebrate the coming of the Lord, and how what powerful truths that we've been declaring in our singing today, Father. And we're grateful for that, Lord. Our hearts are lifted. Our spirits are stirred today, Father, as we consider what Jesus has done for us, and as we consider your great plan, Father God, that you planned and you carried out by the sending of Jesus to this earth. Father, again, open our hearts to receive today. Open our ears to hear today. Open our eyes to see today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for it. I pray this over myself and over every person listening right now, every person here in this room, every person listening online or on our podcast. Lord, we thank you for it. And we thank you that for the power of your word to change our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. One word from God can change your life and your destiny. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I like our, I hope you like our Christmas decorations. And unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to be able to get the windows painted this year. I was hoping we could do that again. Stephanie, that did that last year, has taken on corporate accounts, and so she's busy with her stores and the corporate accounts that she's doing, and she wasn't able to do it this year. So we'll have to just enjoy what's on the inside. And I hope you like, I like these banners, peace, love, and joy. And we got those up and all the other decorations. Did anybody notice as you entered the door, did you notice the little the picture, the painting of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus? I found that at Hobby Lobby, and 50% off. So what did it? $14.99. Amazing, and I think it's beautiful. So I got a little one for my house too, as I bought that one for the church. And so, but anyway, the peace, love, and joy here. I just had that on my heart. I believe the Lord spoke that to me and put that on my heart. That's going to be our theme for my messages over these next three Sundays. We've got today, next Sunday the 12th, and then the 19th will be our three Sundays of Christmas. So we're going to talk about peace one Sunday. We're going to talk about joy one Sunday. And today we're going to talk about love. Praise God. Christmas is about love. Now, I'm talking about real love. I'm not, you know, I know sometimes, you know, couples get engaged and, you know, jewelry stores try to make a killing at Christmas, you know, give that special someone, you know, that didn't surprise them this Christmas, you know, and that's all well and good. But I'm talking about the love of God. Amen. I'm talking about understanding how much God loves us so that it transforms our life and it sets us free to love other people. Amen. Just like God loves us. It's about loving our neighbor and whoever and wherever that neighbor may be. You know, Jesus made it clear in the parable that he told of the Good Samaritan that your neighbor is not just the guy that has the, you know, one different number different than your address. Amen. And loving our neighbor not only in word but also in deed. So let's talk about this morning. The first thing, number one, is this. It's the love of God toward us. That's where it starts. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe this is the most important verse in the Bible, because I believe that to understand the Bible, you have to view it through this lens, through the lens of this truth right here, through the lens of what Jesus said, and these are the words of Jesus. We have to view everything in the Bible, Old Testament and New, through the lens of John 3:16. Everything that God did, as we see in the Bible, he's working toward this end right here. So loving the world, that he so loved the world, he loved us, humanity. He loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world, and everything that we see recorded in the Bible was God working to get that done. Amen. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God's entire motivation, God's entire purpose for sending Jesus into the world was love, pure and simple. God loved humanity. God loved each and every one of us so much. Amen. That was his motive, was love. Amen. It wasn't that, you know, well, he wanted obedient servants. Well, does he want obedient servants? He does, but his motivation is love. His motivation was love. Amen? Praise God. And his love, the love of God, is a saving love. When we talk about God loving us, he didn't leave us in our lost and hopeless condition and blow a kiss at us and say, sure love you guys. You know, hope you can make it here. Heaven is great. Hope you can get here somehow. He didn't leave it. No, his love is a saving love. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He loved us. He came to redeem us. Yes. Amen. He came to restore us. He came to rescue us, to save us now and for all time and eternity. Right. Amen. That's the love of God. And he made that love available to whosoever. Yep. Jesus said, whoever. Yes. God so loved the world. God so loved humanity that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting, eternal life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love this scripture in the book of Titus. The book of Titus, that's the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, who was a pastor. And he says this in Titus 3 and verse 3. He says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, didn't end there, amen? I'm glad he didn't leave us in that hateful and hating one another and disobedient and deceived and conditioned, amen? But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Look at that. Let's go back, stay on verse 4 there for a second, Trinity. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. When did the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appear? It appeared when Jesus came. The Son of God coming to the earth is the kindness and the love of God appearing. Hallelujah. It's the kindness and the love of God being revealed to us. Amen. Praise God. You know, I love the, I think it may be my favorite Christmas carol, Christmas song now, Oh Holy Night. And it wasn't always, there's a lot of them that I really love and enjoy, but just the words to Oh Holy Night, as I think about them and as I've studied them over the past few years, just so powerful. And I've mentioned this before, this line in the song, O Holy Night, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Pining means wasting away. That's what this verse says. We were wasting away in our sin till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Hallelujah. When we were wasting away in our sin until he appeared. Glory to God. When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This kindness and love of God is a saving love. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. I thought about it. I should have done it. To do an object lesson, but I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine it. Look at how God gave his love to us. I've talked about the blessings of God, the love of God toward us. Does anybody remember Brill Cream? You are really dating yourself if you remember Brill Cream. Does anybody remember Brill Cream's advertisement, their little tag, their slogan? A little dab will do you. Well, sometimes we think that about the love of God and the blessings of, oh, just a little dab will do me. No, God poured it out. God poured it out. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus coming to the earth is God's love, just being us being deluged with the love of God. Hallelujah. The love of God being poured out on us abundantly. Abundantly means overflowing. Hallelujah. So God took His love and poured it into the cup of our life, and when it started overflowing, He just kept pouring. He didn't pour it a quarter cup full and say, "Well, there, I hope that satisfies you." You know, there's a lot of people. There's about 7-8 billion of you around there. This ought to be enough. There's got a lot to go around here. Let me give you just a little bit. No, He poured it out abundantly. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, and this is in the New Living Translation, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. Think about that for a minute. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. So Christmas is about love. If you want to understand the true meaning of Christmas, this is it. God showed how much He loved us. Hallelujah. Now verse 10. This is real love. Hallelujah. The love that God has for us is real love. Again, in the world we have all kinds of concepts and ideas of love, and a lot of them are erroneous, and a lot of them are shallow, and a lot of them are empty. Amen. But this is real love. Hallelujah. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God didn't send Jesus to the earth because we were loving Him. It wasn't that we were down here and we were just saying, "Oh, God, we love You so much. We love You, we love You. Lord, we want to serve You. Lord, we want to follow You. Lord, we want to know You and walk with You." It wasn't that at all. We weren't loving God. In fact, we were shaking our fist at Him. We were His enemies. And yet He loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. You know, a lot of times people think, and you may have thought this, and sometimes maybe we all think it. Yeah, but if you may think I'm an okay person, but if you really knew me, would you still love me? Does anybody ever think that way? I can't let people get too close to me because if they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. We probably all had those thoughts. You know what? God, and that might be true in some cases. Some folks might not love you if they knew the real you. But you know, the one who knows us best loves us most. Isn't that wonderful? The one who knows us best, God knows us, God sees our weaknesses, our frailty, our shortcomings, our stumbling, and yet He loves us most. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. John goes on writing here in 1 John 4 and verse 16, and he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." Hallelujah. Do you? Have you? Have you known it, and do you believe it? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to believe it. Hallelujah. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. You know, this is John writing this. And you know who he referred to himself as in the Gospel of John? He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what he says about himself. That's what you ought to say about yourself. Hallelujah. I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. I am the follower of Jesus whom He loves. Because it's truth. Because He does. Amen. Hallelujah. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love." We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. So I want to ask you again, do you? Do you know how much God loves you? Paul prayed for the Ephesian church that they would understand it. He said, "I'm praying for you that you might know the length and width and depth and height of the love of God that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, he says here, John says, if you abide in love, then you abide in God, and God's abiding in you.
Amen.
Amen. So do you really know how much he loves you? And are you putting your trust in his love? Or are you still trying to trust in your performance, trying to be good enough for God to love me? We believe in righteous living. We believe in holiness. But we also believe that the love of God, amen, and qualifies us and gives us a standing before him. And our trust is not in our performance, because we're all going to miss it. If your trust is in your performance, you're going to fall short. You're going to miss it. Our trust must be in his love and his great love for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we put our trust in God's love. We believe God's love for us. That's what Christmas is about. God loving us. But then the thing that follows from that, and this is in order, it has to go in this order. The second thing is this: we are to love one another in the family of God. Because again, John writes this in this same passage here in 1 John 4 and verse 11. Look at this. He says, beloved. You know what beloved means? It means loved by God. In writing to the believers, he says, you are beloved.
Amen.
You are loved by God. And he said, so really he's saying, one who is loved by God, you who are loved by God, if God so loved us, and he did and he does, amen? Well, what's the conclusion? What's the next step in that? If God so loves us, then what? We also ought to love one another. We also ought to, since God so loves us, then we also ought to love one another. See, the miracle of Christmas is that God, in his love, sent Jesus to this earth to save us and to come live in us. So that now, because of that, we've got the capacity to love like God loves. Since God so loved us, see, if we'll let the love of God transform our lives, then we're able to love other people. Amen? If we're struggling loving other folks, it simply means that we've not really let God love us. I mentioned last week about Anthony bringing Marley in here. Some of y'all saw Marley. If you were here, we tried to get Marley on the platform. Marley is Anthony's dog, by the way, for those of you that may not know about Marley. And but when Anthony came in early, about 9:30 last Sunday morning, Marley came in before him. He was still out in the foyer, and Marley came in through those doors, and she said, I was standing right over here praying, and there was only two or three people in the sanctuary, and she saw me. I mean, she came running. She came bounding up to me. You know what bounding? Bounding is running and jumping at the same time. And you've seen a dog bounding, okay? Marley came bounding up to me. She was so glad to see me, I found out she likes to be petted on her rear end, so she turned around, you know, and made herself available for me to pet her on her backside there, which I did. Amen. And I got a revelation as I was petting Marley. I thought about, my goodness, that's the way we ought to come to God. That's the way we ought to come into the presence of God. We ought to come bounding into his presence, knowing that he loves us. And we ought to just turn our backsides to him, or whatever. Not literally. But we just ought to get right up in his presence and just let him love us.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Marley knew she was going to get some petting. Amen. And when we come into God's presence, he wants to love us.
Yes.
Amen. Let him love us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But we can't fully love others until we first know how much God loves us.
Amen.
Amen. See, the Bible says here, again here in 1 John 4, that God's love casts out fear. God's love is perfect love. And it says that perfect love casts out fear. If we still have fear in our lives, we're going to end up operating in selfishness. Think about that for a minute. That's true. If you've got fear in your life, it's going to manifest in some way in selfishness. You're going to be going down the aisle and down the paper products aisle in the grocery store. And all of a sudden, that thought of fear is going to come into your mind like, we might run out of toilet paper. And instead of leaving four or five packages of toilet paper for your neighbor, if you love them, instead, that fear takes hold of you. And in selfishness, you start stuffing your cart with pack after pack of toilet paper. That's just one example. But selfishness is born out of fear. God's perfect love casts out fear. When we know how much God loves us, we're freed from selfishness. We don't have to contend for our way. We don't have to try to get our piece of the pie. We don't have to push and shove and, amen, try to get to the front of the line. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're all learning and growing in this. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. But really, when we know God's love, then we're free to love other people. Amen. See what? The love of God, I love this. The love of God melts us. The love of God, if you'll allow it to, the love of God will remove the hardness and the harshness out of your life. That's accumulating. You know, that hardness and that harshness accumulates in our lives through sin, through disappointment, through other people sinning against you. It creates a harshness and a hardness in it, but the love of God melts all that. It absolutely will. The love of God will melt all that. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 32, he said, and be kind to one another. What kind of hearted? Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Everybody say tender-hearted. Thank God we can be tender-hearted and not hard-hearted. Amen. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Because God in Christ forgave me, then I can be tender-hearted and I can forgive others. And he goes on speaking here. It's divided in the Bible in chapter and verse, but it's the same thought. The next verse says, which is chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ, also has loved us. Amen. So be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. The Message Bible, I like this. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Well, is God your father? Yes. Are you his child? Yes. Do you have his nature in you now? Yes. Well, we can do this then. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Look at verse 2. Mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. If we'll do that, if we'll keep company with God, if we'll walk with him, then we'll learn a life of love. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way in John 13, 34. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus said, I want you to love others as I have loved you. Well, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And said, well, Pastor, that's not possible. How? Well, the Bible says the love of God has been, again, poured out. Poured out in our hearts. Romans 5, 5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it is possible. Amen? It's in there. We just have to tap into that love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know one reason that we've not won the world to Christ? One reason is that the world looks at us And instead of seeing the church, the body of Christ, loving one another, they see us fighting. They see us divided. Amen. They see us cutting one another down. But Jesus said, the world, by this, all men, the world will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. See, our best witness to the world, our best witness to the unsaved, is our love for one another. Amen. Now, certainly, I believe that we are to publicly proclaim the gospel and witness with our words the gospel. Certainly, absolutely, we're to do that. But Jesus said, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Amen. So how important is that? That's huge, isn't it? I had a really encouraging observation shared with me at our Thanksgiving dinner that we had just a few weeks ago. There was someone here, and of course, we had some folks here that go to church elsewhere now, but they came home to celebrate Thanksgiving here at the church with us. And there was one lady that was here that attends another church now, and she was here in the church for several years. And she looked across the table at me, and she said, "You know, Pastor," she said, "you all love each other." Yeah, she said, "You all get along," and she said, "This is wonderful to see. You know, it just seems like everybody loves each other and cares about each other and all." She could sense that in the room. She could sense that presence in the room. Amen. That there's not any people running around with offenses, and there's not groups, you know, divided against each other, that we do love each other. Amen. Amen. Thank God. That's a great witness. That's a great testimony. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's keep that up. Amen. Let's increase in it. Amen. Here's what Paul said in Colossians. He said, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you know he did and he does. He did choose us to be the holy people he loves. Amen. He didn't love us because we were holy, but his love made us holy. Woo! You missed a good chance to shout there, I'm telling you. Amen. God chose us to be the holy people. He chose us, like Paul wrote in Titus, we were deceived and we were hateful and we were hating one another. But he reached out to us in his love, and we said yes to his invitation of salvation, and his love changed us. Amen. And is changing us. Still working on us, right? Amen. Amen. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All of these are manifestations of the love of God, because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. You must clothe yourselves. See, we have it just like you have clothing in your wardrobe. You picked something out of your closet and put it on today, didn't you? Why? Because you own it. It was hanging in your closet. It's yours to access whenever you need it, right? Well, that's why he said the love of God, these things are this tender-hearted mercy, this kindness, this humility, this gentleness, this patience. It's hanging in our wardrobe. We just have to get it out and put it on. It's on the inside of you through the nature of God, through the new birth. Amen? Look at verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults. Hallelujah. That's what Hallie was seeing. That's the lady I just exposed her, just told her name there. That was here. Some of y'all know her. Most of you wouldn't know her anyway, but some of you would. But that's what she was seeing at our noticing at our Thanksgiving dinner, that we're doing that. We're making allowance for each other's faults. It's not that we don't love each other because we've reached perfection. Right? Amen. Hopefully it's getting easier for us to love each other. Amen. But still, we got some faults. Amen. A few of you do anyway. Not kidding. We all do. Amen. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Amen. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Amen. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Amen. Amen. And the world will take notice. The world will see that when we love each other and we're bound together in perfect harmony because we've clothed ourselves with the love of God and we're making allowances for each other's faults and we're forgiving people and we're refusing to get offended. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the third thing, the love of God can transform society. The love of God can transform. We receive the love of God for ourselves personally. We recognize, we believe, and we receive the love of God. We start out by loving one another in the body of Christ, but then we can extend it out. We can extend it out. The love of God, if we'll let it, the love of God in us and through us can transform our society. Oh, praise God. Amen. And that's what our society, that's what our world, that's what our nation needs right now. We need the transforming love of God flowing out of the people of God. Amen. Again, referencing the song, O Holy Night. These words are in the song. Truly, He taught us to love one another. His law is love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. If we'll do that, we'll be keeping all the 10 commandments. Amen. Truly, He taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. The next line in the song says, chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. Now, this song, O Holy Night, was written by a Frenchman in the early 1800s, and then it was brought over several years later. It was brought over to the United States, and it was translated into English by John Dwight Sullivan, and in the early to mid, I guess early 1800, well 1830s, I think it was. It was translated, and it became these words became part of the rallying cry of the abolitionist movement for slavery to be abolished in America. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. And in His name, all oppression shall cease. Amen. See, the love of God can transform society. And it was the love of God that was behind the abolitionist movement that eradicated slavery out of our nation. Amen. And wherever the love of God is allowed to prevail, whatever culture or society, the Word of God and Christianity, true biblical Christianity, has been allowed and given place to, it transforms society in wonderful ways. Amen. We could give example after example after example of that, but it's because of the transforming love of God. Amen. 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 Praise God. And the further we get away from that foundation, the more precarious our society becomes. Amen. So that's why we stand for that godly foundation for our nation. Amen. Praise God. And then finally, and Reed, come on back up if you would. Finally, it's this. Number four, loving our enemies. Loving our enemies. We let God love us. We believe in His love for us. We begin practicing that love by loving one another in the body of Christ. And then we begin to let the love of God transform society. And at the same time, while we're doing that, we just take this thing the whole way and we love our enemies. Hallelujah. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, we weren't loving God. We weren't sitting down here singing worship songs and down here acting so great. And God said, you know, they're behaving so well. I think I'll go down and love them and save them now. No, it's while we were at our worst. Amen. It's while the world was in darkness that Jesus came. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, the Scripture said. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies," we were what?
Enemies.
We were enemies. "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, restored back to favor with God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by His life." It says, when we were enemies, God reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. That's the love of God. The love of God loves its enemies. The love of God was so great that while we were God's enemies in our sin, He sent Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And with His love on the inside of us, we can do the same now. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 6:27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you." This is indeed radical, and it is revolutionary. Amen. If you want something radical and revolutionary to join yourself to, this is it right here. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Praise God. He says in verse 32, he says, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." Amen. I mean, it ought to be automatic to love back people that love us. Doesn't take the love of God to do that. It just takes some general decency. Right? Amen. Only a degenerate reprobate would not love those who love them. Only someone that's just a total reprobate would treat with spite and hatefulness someone that's trying to love them. But the love of God, he said, "If you love just those who love you, what credit is that to you?" He said, even sinners do that. And he says in verse 35, "But love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return." Well, if you lend hoping for nothing in return, that would be a gift. Just turn that lending into a gift. Amen? All right. "But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High." In other words, you'll be exhibiting the characteristics of and acting like and looking like your Father. Amen. For God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful. This is your Father also is merciful. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now. We acknowledge your great love for us. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to work in every heart in this room right now. Everyone that's watching this or listening to this right now, work in every heart right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we've known and believed the love that you have for us. Father, I pray that would be the case. I pray, Father, that every one of us would know the love you have for us and we would believe it. And Father, if there are those in here that have never taken that step, they've never opened their heart to, they've never believed the love that you have for them, Lord, I believe you're drawing them right now. Lord, I believe you're speaking to their heart right now. And I thank you, Lord, that they'll take that step and they'll believe. They'll call on Jesus. So while we're in this attitude,